Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. We're going through a series that I entitled Repent, and we're going to touch base on a number of different articles that I put up over the last few weeks and months. And one of them is the Blessed Strategy, and I've talked about this before, but I wrote something down in an email to the Living Network, which you can get on at thelivingnetwork.org. And that network is designed to gather people together, not simply on email groups. It's just a way in which to set up communication and make the first contact with each other. And that system is created so that we can go back to the strategies of Christ, which are the strategies of Moses, which are the strategies of Abraham, which are the strategies of Enoch and Moses and Shem and Noah and everybody who was a servant of God. It's the strategy of the prophets. And there was a prophet called John, who was known as John the Baptist, who was supposed to be one of the greatest men that ever lived, according to Christ. And he had a one-line sermon that was repeated so often that they summed him up in the simple statement, "Repent, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Now, people say that, they rattle that off their tongue, like, accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior, and they don't really know what that means, because they don't know that that's a part of a strategy. He's giving you a plan. When you see the word seek, and other words like strive and persevere, which Christ used, he's talking about following a plan. And that plan was called the way. It wasn't called Christianity, it was called the way, the plan, the procedure, the avenue, the Appian way of Christ, the way he wants us to go so that we are doers of the word and not just hearers alone. Repenting is a word that means turn around. So he's assuming that you're going in the wrong direction. You may call yourself a Jew, or you may call yourself a Christian, or you may call yourself a Buddhist or a Muslim, but are you headed towards where God wants you to go? Are you keeping the commandments of God, which can be summed up in two commandments? Christ summed them up, all the commandments up into two commandments. Love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. To love thy neighbor as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? He came to serve, and he came to sacrifice himself that we might be saved. That is the character of Christ. That is the name of Christ. That is what Christ came as. And if we have Christ in us, that is what we must be like. You don't go to church to feel good. You don't go to church to get an emotional experience or even a spiritual experience. You go to church to serve one another as Christ came to serve us. That's the only reason. And if your pastor has got some other agenda, forget it. He isn't a pastor of Christ. He's probably leading you in a direction that you're going to need to repent from, or you already need to repent from. Anyway, that's been my gospel for some time, is this repent, turn around, and seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same thing. Matthew 3:1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means within your reach. Now, that's not for after you die. That's for right now, in the moment. Mark 1:3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, that's a different way than what people were doing at that time. Make his path straight. And we'll talk about it another place where it talks about making your path crooked, going the wrong way. The workers of iniquity follow a crooked path, a path that's not cast up. Matthew 6:32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need of all these things. Now, what's he talking about? Clothes and food and protection from the elements. He knows what you need. So if you are following the way, those things will be provided. Well, why wouldn't they be provided? I mean, does it mean that you just walk down the street in a particular direction and then God just throws everything in front of you? No, you have to be following that way, that straight way of the Lord, that righteous way of the Lord. If you're not following the righteous way of the Lord, he knows you have needs, but he's not going to supply them. He's not going to give them. You're going to have to get somebody else to provide those needs. Your daily bread. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But give us this day our daily bread. That is important. How do we get our daily bread? Well, 45 million Americans get their daily bread by going to the government and praying, applying for an EBT card to be on food stamps. They pray to these men who call themselves benefactors that we call government to obtain their daily bread. That's how they get their daily bread. God's not providing that. Government is providing that. How do they get it? What is the way that they use to get the bread they're going to give you? Well, actually, most governments borrow the money to buy the bread to give you because most of them are operating in the red. But if they weren't operating in the red, if they still were operating in the black, how do they get the money? They don't just have it. They have to get it from somewhere. They get it from your neighbor. To desire benefits from men who exercise authority one over the other is going the opposite way Christ said to go, because he said it was not to be that way with you. And we are going to constantly revisit that because your preachers haven't been telling you that Christ said to do it this way and not that way, and you're doing it that way and not Christ's way. So that's where you have to repent. Turn around and do it Christ's way, John the Baptist's way. John was really clear about that. How does the kingdom work? They wanted to know. And he says, if you have two coats and your neighbor doesn't have a coat, you share. Same with meats, same with food, same with any kind of welfare. If a person has a need, if they need to go to the doctor and they don't have the money to go to the doctor, do you ask men who exercise authority one over the other to go to your neighbor and take money away, to take money away from your neighbor's children by borrowing the money so that you can go to the doctor? No. You go to church. And if you go to church, the church, being thrifty, being self-reliant, is going to try to find a way that you can get the help you need, whether it's a medical doctor or a chiropractor or whatever. They want you to get it timely, so they'll help you do that. How can they help you do that? Because your neighbors have freely given on the altars of the church. And it's up to your... It is your responsibility, it is your duty, it is up to you to make sure that your ministers are doing a good job and not squandering the funds that you gave them. And if you are diligent and your ministers are diligent, you will be a free people. If you are not, if you are slothful in the way, you will go into bondage. You will again be entangled in the elements of the world. It will be worse with you than it was when you went into the bondage in Egypt. Mark 1:14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The good news of the kingdom of God at hand, right there, that you could live by faith, hope, and charity with only God as your exercising authority, your ruler. You will not have chosen a Saul, which was called a rejection of God. When they chose Saul, that was a rejection of God. God did not want you to go that way. You wanted to go that way, and it was called a rejection of God. And he said, if you go that way, this will happen. All of that's happening today. And yet we have Christians, people claiming to be Christians, going around saying, well, God wanted us to go under these governments. Jesus said it was not to be so with you. You were not to have these men exercising authority and taking from your neighbor to provide you with benefits. He said it. Paul said it. Peter said it, through covetousness they would make merchandise of you. You'd be again entangled in that bondage of the world. And that's exactly what's happened. Luke 16:16, the law of the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now, that is poorly understood. It's translated two different ways. The word presseth is from biazo, to use force. So men are trying to force and create the kingdom of God. And that, of course, is what Herod had been doing. He was trying to establish the kingdom of God, set up a system where you could sign up for social welfare, a social progressive socialist system. You would sign up. You would have to pay in once you're signed up. There would be a statutory amount you would be required to pay. And then the temple, through the synagogues, would take care of your needs. If you were blind, if you were indigent, if something happened, you would get money back and people would take care of you. And what was given at the altar of the church, of the synagogue, and then therefore to the treasury of the temple, which they also called, there was a gastophone, was one word they used to describe the treasury, but another one was corban. The money in the corban, in that treasury, was to be used for the social welfare of the people, and was distributed through the synagogues, because that's where the people are. They're down in the individual synagogues. We would call them churches today. Except for the churches aren't doing that, and the churches aren't signing you up where you have to pay in to take care of the needy of your society, fulfill your duty to society. The government is doing it. And of course, Herod was a government. So now Herod took over the job of the Levites, which was to manage the social welfare of the people through faith, hope, and charity, and had done like Saul had done, forced an offering. And he couldn't force it on his own cognizance. He had to get you to sign up. And you signed up. And this difference was the conflict between Christ and the Pharisees, and Christ and Herod, and Christ and the kingdoms which are of the world, because his kingdom was not of the world, the constitutional orders and systems of government like Rome. Rome had once used free will offerings. It was now using a system of Corban, actually calls it Corban, to take care of its needy. So this is the conflict. And we see in that Luke 16:16, where it talks about men were trying to establish this kingdom of God. Until John, they were trying to do it by force, biazo. In Matthew 11:12, we see, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Now, that word suffereth violence is the same word, biazo, they say, presseth into it, which means to use force. And he's saying kingdom of heaven, and what he's actually saying is the kingdom of Uranos. And the Greek word for Uranos, according to many Greek scholars, is best translated world, kingdom of the world. Because it meant the vaulted ceiling that we see above us, the heavens, all the way down to the core of the earth. That's what the word meant. Now, there's another reference to heaven where Paul talks about it. But the kingdom of heaven was at hand. It wasn't off after you die. It was for the living, not for the dead. So John the Baptist is preaching an actual government that operated by faith, hope, and charity. And we see these words, biazo and biastes, in this verse of Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of Uranos, the kingdom of heaven, suffereth force. People were using force, and the violent, biastes, those who use force, take it by force. That's right. They're trying to establish it by force. This is what Herod was doing. He was compelling the offerings of the people. That does not promote love. That promotes greed. It promotes a corruption. It centralizes power. That's what they did when they rejected God and elected Saul to begin with, and then Saul forced an offering, which was why Saul lost his kingdom, because he forced an offering. This is what John was preaching, but few understand it. Jesus and the apostles said to do and are beginning to operate more like the early church in the world, but not of it. That's what we need to do. We need to begin to operate more like the early church. And some of our ministers now in our network are beginning to do that. And the fact is, I think we can find ministers in many different denominations and different, even you could also call them religions, whatever it is that people think is religion, that are not far from the kingdom. Just like Jesus found some of the Pharisees and some of the Sanhedrin not far from the kingdom. And of course, Paul was a Pharisee, and he was adamant against Christ until he finally got knocked off his high horse and began to awaken. And I don't believe you can understand this unless God is awakening you in your heart. And you'll hear little bits and you'll say, well, I'm interested and I'll go. And will you keep going? I don't know. But we know that when Jesus talks about the sower of the seeds, many seeds go out and they're eaten up and they fall on ground where they don't root, and or they fall on rocky ground where the roots don't go down. You need to get the roots down. The rocky ground is your hard hearts. You need to start giving. You need that flow of giving. You need to do it in an organized way so you're not just squandering the life that God has given you. You need to be investing in one another and developing trust. Now, trust in what? Trust in the way. Trust in Christ. It appears like trust in men, but really what it is you're trusting in Christ that you see in men. If you see men being slothful, you do not want to encourage that sloth by paying for their lunch. So anyway, it's your responsibility. It isn't something you farm out to somebody else and give them power. You need to do it. You need to make it happen. And this is what the early church was doing, and they did it because that's what John the Baptist was saying. If you got extra, help those who need, period. He did not say, go to Herod. That's why he was out in the desert, because he wasn't going to Herod. And if you have a need, apply to Herod, and Herod will take away from your neighbor, and then he'll put the money in a treasury, and then you'll have enough money in that treasury to take care of your needs. That's not love. Got it? Write it down. Okay, so we've got lots of people that are thinking that's perfectly okay, that God ordained such governments when Christ said not to be that way, where God ordained a government, and when the people decided to create their own government and elect men who could exercise authority one over the other, God called that a rejection of God. That's what you need to repent from. You've been going the wrong way. And the things that you call church weren't established by Christ. Most of them are established by the men who exercise authority one over the other. And your pastors have become brute beasts because they tell you it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government. Bunk. That's a lie. And they are liars for saying it. And they need to repent of that. So there's a big learning curve here to seeking the kingdom like the early church was seeking the kingdom. And these ministers have been learning by doing, the ministers that are in our network, by doing. And the fact is, I see sometimes missionaries and stuff, because of the difficulties on the missions, they are learning this too. But where the men who exercise authority are handing out benefits left and right, nobody seems to think they need to learn this. And they think, oh, well, this is okay, because they have accepted a damnable heresy, and they have gone under a strong delusion that somehow or other, they don't have to keep the commandments, including thou shalt not covet, and you can still be saved because you say, Lord, Lord, because you say you love Jesus, because you say that you accept him as your Savior, but you're not doing what he says. So therefore, you don't really love him. You love the idea of him, and the idea of him that you have in your head is not the idea that is true. It is a false idea, and it has led the whole body of Christians, a whole body of Christians and churches, away from Christ, so that they have more in common with the Pharisees than they have with the early church. But the ministers are only a small part now. These ministers who are learning what it meant to be a ministers of the church, the diakonos of the church, the ones who came to serve, to feed the sheep. They're only a small part of this because they have nothing to feed the sheep with unless the elders give it to them. And what are the elders? The heads of the families. That's what an elder is. When it says he appointed elders, that's not an office in the church. That's an office in the family. An elder was the head of a family. Elders of families and men and women seeking the kingdom of God are both a part of and the purpose of the church. They are the ones that help us feed the needy. We should be our entire social welfare. Now, what happens if the church became the entire social welfare for the Christians? People say, well, it would bankrupt the church. Does it bankrupt governments? Well, actually, it does bankrupt governments. Most governments who have tried to do this, they go bankrupt. But it isn't because the idea of taking care of the poor is impossible. It's the idea of taking care of the slothful is impossible. Some people are poor because they're slothful. The slothful should be under tribute. They should go under these systems of social welfare that force contribution because they're slothful. They are wicked, and they should have those systems. But Christians should not. Christians, what they're trying to do when they have a need, they say, oh, I don't want to be a burden to my brother. You know, it's actually in our network, sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get people to tell us what their needs are to help them. They resist letting us help you. You know, I was teasing one of the ministers the other day, talking to him on the phone, because I was explaining this problem to him, that someone needed to go get an x-ray. They were injured and they needed to go get an x-ray or at least have it checked out with a chiropractor or something because they were showing serious problems from the accident. And they needed to be checked out by somebody who knew. And the elders around them couldn't really give them the answers that they needed, so they needed to go get somebody who could. Well, you do this if you need your plumbing fixed. Sometimes you'll go hire a plumber. I don't. I usually fix it myself. But if you need electrical work, you may go hire an electrician. If you need whatever, you go hire these people that know what they're doing. Same thing with your body. But he didn't have the money to do it, so he put it off. Not a good idea. He would have been way better off if he had gone right away. But he didn't go right away because he didn't have the funds. Church had the funds. His brothers have the funds. If you fall off a cliff and you're hanging down on a ledge, wouldn't you holler up and say, brothers, throw me a rope? And what brother would not bring a rope and throw it down to him and help him back up again? And if you had to go and leave off and it cost you money to come and help your brother, then he can just pay you back when he can. He can pay you back any way he wants. You know, I mean, I've given money to people, you know, hundreds of dollars sometimes. Some come back and try to pay me back. Some don't. I do work to the tune of sometimes thousands of dollars for people. I just help them out. I helped the guy move a house. He didn't pay me for any of it. I actually jacked the house up and got it moved almost a mile. And he had only days to do this or they would have tore down the house. But we got it moved. And he didn't pay me. And then finally, like 2 years later, all of a sudden, he paid me like $1,000. It was actually worth more than that, but at least he paid me then. And this is the way it works in the kingdom, is that you help, and then when you get on your feet, you help those who helped you. This promotes love. And what really should happen if we're following the ways of Christ, when you help somebody by, you know, giving them $500, they had a need, they were in serious financial trouble and you gave them $500. When they get back on their feet, they should give you back $600. And that's what name, because you cast your bread on the waters. You took a chance that you would be able to help this person then, and you wouldn't need the funds. Actually, I've done this several times when we were really down on funds. We took money that we could use, and you know, we maybe put off getting shoes. Right now, the shoes I wear every day for work, I was sorting sheep yesterday, and the shoes I was wearing, they're just about on their last leg. I've bought new ones to replace them, but I didn't put them on yet. I'm wearing out the old ones. Well, there's holes in the bottom of both of them, and it was actually starting to hurt my foot by the end of the day when we were finally done, because I'm walking on this shoe with a hole in it. But that's because I want to get the most use out of it. Now, if I hadn't given money away to people and helped them out, I might have lots of money. But the reality is, what's happened is I've given things away, and it's come back to bless me. But by my nature, I'm very frugal, and I want to get the last bit of mileage out of that shoe. And that's the nature. I noticed one time when the church, I put some money into the church, actually an inheritance, I put it into the church. And as soon as that money showed up, and I put it in where I don't have control over the expenditures of the funds, and I turned it over to other church ministers to distribute those funds according to the way they see fit. And right away, I noticed some ministers who didn't really seem to understand what we're doing. They got a lot of the words, but they really weren't at peace in their soul. They were still angry with their spouse, and they would throw their temper, and they'd have fits of anger and all this stuff, which is evidence that you're not really walking in Christ. And everything they knew about Christ, they were painting on from the outside. Now, I'm not saying they're totally wicked, but they were missing it. They hadn't really let go deep down in their heart. They were still clinging to judgment and what have you. I don't know, some sort of selfishness. But immediately, they wanted to get some of that money for their personal use. They wanted to put that money to work for their personal use. Now, these people aren't totally selfish. They've done some casting of their bread on the waters. They've sacrificed a great deal, but they're still carrying some of that old baggage. And people need to let go of that. I mean, Christ let go of everything. Though he was rich, he made himself poor. And he gave up his life for your sake, that ye might be saved, that ye might be a free people. The people have all sold this inheritance of Christ that he passed down to us for the benefits of men who exercise authority. We are going out of the way. But anyway, we'll talk more about that when we return to Keys to the Kingdom.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about this idea of repentance and how whole nations have had need of repentance, how early Israel was a republic according to encyclopedias, that it was one of the early forms of a republic. Why? Because its leaders, which were the Levites, were titular. They had no real exercising authority over the people. They received the sacrifices of the people and they could eat of that sacrifice. They had no personal estate. They actually belonged to God, and they provided the social welfare of society. If they were very sacrificing individuals, hardworking individuals who were really diligent in that social welfare, not only were their local congregations, the tents of the congregation, the tabernacles of the congregation, where they immediately served those that elected them as a Levite, but also with the whole nation, because sometimes, you know, if there's a flood or a fire or an invasion, a whole section of the country may be devastated by famine or drought or what have you. And so you needed to have this network that reached all the way across the land so that you could say, well, these guys need help over here. And how much help do you send them? Well, It depends on the good judgment of those ministers. So this was their government. The Levites were their government. It was their system of government. It was their form of government. And what they gave on their altars, and we've explained this in lots of literature, we show you right what it meant. These altars of clay and stone were actually part of a social welfare system where you sacrificed on the stones of that altar, which were the Levites themselves, and they distributed to the needy amongst them. So you created offices of service, and men of service sought the office. If you create offices of power, men who seek power will seek office. And that's what they did when they elected Saul. And it turned the whole nation to go in the wrong direction. It was called national adultery. They were going in the wrong way. They were selling their birthright for a pot of benefits, a pot of porridge. And this was the way of Balaam, this is the way of the Nicolaitans, and this is the way that God hates. And that we keep doing this, generation after generation, and then some repent and go back, and then we do it again. History repeating itself. So what I'm telling you about in this blessed strategy, that if you turn around and start taking care of the needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty by electing ministers who actually want to serve the people, donate to them, they will take care of the needy, including their health care, including their welfare. But it only works for people who are as giving and as desirous of not being a burden as Christ was, as many of the apostles were. That's why Paul had work that he could do to support himself, making tents, so that he did not deplete the funds, the fat of that which was given him. On a recent minister's conference, I talked about fat and sugar, that the body has places where it stores fat. It doesn't store sugar. It stores fat, and the fat turns into sugar, and the sugar does the work. And then if there's a lot of extra sugar, it turns back into fat. And so that's the way the body operates. So that's also the way the ministers operate. The fat of the sacrifice was given to the minister, and he could store this up to some degree so that he could use it. And we're not, this is figuratively, because you don't understand when I say the Levite was given the sacrifice, he was to take the kidneys, which actually means take control of the sacrifice. It was burnt up to the individual. He no longer had any control. The Levite had control of the offering. And then he could use it any way that he saw fit. If he did a good job, you give to him next week. If he doesn't, you give to somebody else. And this makes you the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But the people have been slothful in this. They just said, you, king, you, president, you, prime minister, we just send you the money and you take care of the welfare and we'll just go watch the ball game. This is not the way of righteousness. This will lead to tyranny. The more you look to government, you will always suffer tyranny. This was a common phrase spoken at the time of the American Revolution, and it's still true today. And people don't see it, but they're going more and more that way. And this is the conflict between Christianity and Rome, because the Christians were going the other way. Now, a lot of people want to have lawful assemblies, and they want to come out of the system. And that they come to me and they say, how do I get out of the system? You have to get the system out of you. If we just get you out of the system and bring you into our congregation, next thing you know, you'll be making rules and trying to control us, and you won't be helping one another because all you're interested in is getting free. You have to be interested in getting your neighbor free as much as your own freedom, at least as much. And your ministers have to even be more so. Christ gave us this blessed strategy to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He did not incorporate the kingdom, but he appointed the church. The kingdom includes the free assemblies of the people that come together not as corporations, not as unincorporated associations, but as free assemblies. They freely gather together, they pick a minister of their choice, and they give to him according to their means and according to his service and according to what he needs to provide the services for the community. That minister will not feed the slothful. He will not support wickedness. He will not support promiscuity. He will not support avarice. And so therefore, his welfare system will not squander the offerings of the people. This is what bankrupts nations. They squander the offerings of the people. And why not? They can just force the people to give more. You see, you have no governing power in the hands of the people anymore. You have the delusion of it, the illusion of it, but you are deluded in thinking that you have power because they have the power and you don't. You're not the government. They are the government. Now, the church is a government. It's one form of government. And if the church is doing what Christ says, then we can say we're from the government and we're here to help. We can say that because that's actually the purpose of the church, to come and help. Now, we don't have anything to help with unless you help us. We can't even find the people that will do this unless we have some funds and some means. I mean, it doesn't have to be funds. You could do it with a network. Every time we write an article explaining how this works, you should be spreading that every way you can, on Facebook, on Twitter. Every one of you should be spreading it. As many places you can. I don't want to hear, oh, I didn't want to send it to my family because they don't really like this stuff. Well, too bad. You need to send it to your family. I mean, it's your choice. But so it's not just about money. It's about participation. It's about sharing. It's about taking your time and trying to find others to save. This idea of just getting out of the system is a walk the plank mentality. It is not what Christ preached. It's not what John the Baptist preached. Yes, he said, come out of them, my people, lest ye be partakers of their sin. But that was way at the end. Way before that, he said, come together in my name, in my character. And that's what he was setting up as a church, that would come together in his name, in his character, by serving one another. It's that form of government that the church is. The church is defined in Black's Law Dictionary as one form of government, and that's the form that it is. Its altars, its living altars, are made out of individual stones, which are its ministers. And those ministers are stone because they are incorporated to Christ. They belong to Christ. This is the separate church, the holy church, that is separate from the world. It's not incorporated to the world. It's not of the world. It's in the world, but it's of Christ. And this is what we explain in the Free Church Report, how that is set up. A lot of people don't like it, but they don't like the fact that, you know, we're pointing out that their progressive socialism is antichrist. And there's a need for progressive socialism amongst the wicked and the slothful. And we understand they need that. We don't want to take away from their system. We want to build the righteous system of Christ, a system not based on force. People use the term pure trust. But they do not really, pure trusts do not really exist because men are not pure. But Christ is pure. And so if we give ourselves really, the ministers give themselves really to Christ to be his servants, then the trust is pure. The trustee may still be imperfect, but the trust is pure because Christ was pure. And that's what the church is. It's a trust. It's not a corporate trust or statutory trust from the point of view of the world. It's the church, which is separate from the state, but it has to meet those qualifications of Christ, which will make it qualify as something separate in the world, but not of it. But you have to meet what Christ said. I don't hardly know ministers that do what Christ says. Now, a few of them do some of it, but then they don't do the others. And there's a lot to it, and that's why I had to write the book Free Church Report and why I had to have to write the Minister's Manual. There are nexus connections everywhere. And though I might let you off, if I were judge, the judges of the world will protect their assets, which include you. And they will not let you go as individuals. That's just the way it is. That's the way it was in the time of the Pharaoh. His heart was hard, and he wasn't going to let you go. But there is a way, and Christ was showing us how to start going that way. And if you go that way, we'll show you the first steps, and we'll show you the second steps, and we'll show you the third steps. But it's completely up to you whether or not you want to take these steps. Because we're in the business of setting you free by trusting in the strategy of Christ, which is the strategy of Moses, which is the strategy of Abraham, as I said before. If his church ministers are not doing what Christ said to do, then we are not his church. And that goes for all the rest of those churches. If they're not doing what Christ said, if they're sending you to the benefactors who exercise authority when you need bread, Why are there anybody in a Christian church on food stamps? Why would anybody be on food stamps? Is there not food amongst you to feed one another? And if you did that, it was recently there was a story where there was some sort of glitch in the computer system and people on with their EBT cards suddenly discovered that the sky was the limit. There was no limit. You can just buy as much as you want. And they were just telling all their buddies and they were running down to the store and they were just going through line after line and charging everything and just taking as much food as they can, just basket loads of food, because it didn't show a limit. And they discovered that. And so they just kept doing this. And then all of a sudden somebody fixed the glitch and it stopped charging. It stopped letting you charge. The limit was back on again. And you see in this photo story, cartload after cartload after cartload filled with food, and they just abandoned the carts. They didn't take and put the food back or anything. That's the slothful, the avarice. And they're rewarded by your blood because you've been sacrificing on the civil altars of Baal and Nimrod and Babylon and the Nicolaitans because you did not want to repent and turn around and live by faith, hope, and charity, which Christ said to do. I mean, it's just that simple. Your churches are a fraud. Your faith is a fraud unless you really want to go the way of righteousness. And can you imagine if you gather together with hundreds of thousands of people who want to really live according to the name of Christ? I'm not talking about the guys who want to say Yeshua and say, well, I did it in the name of Christ. Bunk. If you're not doing it the way Christ said to do it, that's not the name of Christ. That's not according to the character of Christ, period. You are a fraud as a Christian if you're not doing it that way. And I'm telling you that because I love you and I'm rebuking you so that you actually start repenting. And how do you do that? Start trying to find the other folks who will repent too and gather together in what? His name, His character. Come together not to be entertained in your church, not to be comforted by the big screen and the music and the sound system, but be there to comfort one another. How will the Holy Spirit, why would the Holy Spirit, the Kodesh, live in you if you are not coming together to the purpose of serving one another? The Kodesh will not live in you. You are not the temple of the Holy Spirit unless that's really what you come to do. And guess what? That takes a lot of patience today, because you're going to be full-time forgiver. You're going to have to constantly forgive people. You're going to have to be a full-time giver. Give your time and your energy and everything you've got, as at least half of everything you've got. And if you want to be a minister, you got to give more. Remember the rich man? He gave half of everything he had, and he still wanted to do more. And he says, okay, give it all and come follow me. Come be one of my ministers. Oh, don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. You know, it's just not the way. You got to do it the way Christ said, or you're not following him. You know, that's all it is. You know, if you leave Los Angeles headed for Tokyo in a sailboat and you're off by 3 degrees, you will miss Japan. You will miss Asia. You could even miss Africa. That's how far off you could get. You got to be on course. Make straight the way of the Lord. So anyway, Jesus said, be separate. Your ministers must be separate to provide you with the alternative system, the alternative government of Christ. You must feed my sheep. That means you elders must give the ministers the means to do that. And you must also give him the means by which he can find the sheep. We need more broadcasts. You know, we're on the station in Las Vegas and we're on the internet and I think some of it goes and gets rebroadcast by satellite. It will take money to get it on lots of different stations. We don't have those resources. People have to give us those resources so that we can apply them to get on more places. One of those resources is you. You can call local stations and say, I want to hear Brother Gregory on our local station. Even if it's midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning, I want to hear him. Because he's saying something that will make a difference. Because the gospel of Christ will make a difference. A real difference, not only in your life, but in the life of your nation, if you will actually keep his commandments. And that's another thing he said, keep the commandments. Want eternal life? Keep the commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. What was his commandments? Love one another, as I have loved you. And there was a lot more. We have to become the FEMA of Christ, the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. We have to be there for one another. That's going to take resources. We can't take the resources from you like the other governments do, because we're not like them. We're not like the government of Saul. We're not like the government of Herod. We're not like the government of Nimrod. We're like the government of Christ. We operate by faith, hope, and charity alone. And when you want to operate that way, the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. When you don't, God will not even hear you. How many times does he tell you that in the Bible? That I will not hear them in that day. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen for yourself. And that's what we're going to get into in one of the next shows, is what that means. Because I have another article coming out on News of Views that will get into that. And I'm going to have to put them all together in a book, The Altars of Blood, and let you really chew on this. Because we're serving meat tonight, folks. You need the milk of human kindness, but you need to have repentance. In order to have repentance, somebody's got to tell you you've been going the wrong way. It's why the world's in the mess that it's in today. Why every country's in the bread and bankrupt. Why the entire money system of the world is bankrupt. It's because you're not Christians. If everybody saying they were Christians were really Christians, the world wouldn't look like this. If everybody who says they're Jews and following Moses were really following Moses, the world would not be like this. It would not be like this. It would be a different world. But you've abandoned the ways of Christ and the ways of Moses and the ways of Abraham. And I don't care what religion you claim, you don't even know what religion is anymore. Religion is how you fulfill your duty to God and your fellow man. And how you fulfill your duty to your fellow man is your social welfare system. The social welfare system you find in every single country is operated by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And we call it socialism or communism, which is just an extreme form of socialism, or social democracies, where you have a common purse of rights, and if the majority say you have to give, you have to give. That's not a republic. That's a social democracy. That's what the Nazis were, social democrats. And I'm not talking political here. I'm talking people. This is just spiritual. There is a spirit of not forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, but instead being there for your neighbor when he has a true need and he is part of the deserving poor. Because the undeserving poor are the slothful who should go hungry. They should start their fasting and go without, because you'll be surprised in how industrious somebody gets when they go without. Like the story I've told it a number of times of the lady who had the dog. She fed it all the time. It was fat and it was got lazy and listless, and she thought it was sick. It was so listless. And so she took it to the vet, and the vet said, well, I'll have to keep it here for 3 days. And he kept it for 3 days, and she came back, and it was just happy to see her, and it was jumping all around. It was just all enthusiastic. And she wondered what wonder drug that he had given her, and was willing to pay the vet almost anything for this miracle cure. And he said, well, I didn't give it anything. I just didn't feed it for 3 days. And all of a sudden it got energetic. You know, if you feed the bears, it will make them dependent. Stop feeding the bears. So anyway, that means that we need to have ministers and elders working for a common goal in an unselfish, servant service oriented protocol that strengthens the poor. What does that look like? Free assemblies that come together for the purposes of serving one another with free will offerings, and ministers who do the same to provide all the benefits of society, of government, but by charity alone. And all come to serve in whatever capacity they can serve, whether it's financial or it's your energy or your time. It doesn't matter to us whether it's a penny or $1 million, as long as we see that it is real sacrifice. Who gave more? The widow who gave the penny, or the rich man who gave half of everything he got? See, we base it on this accrued level. If you're the rich man who gave half of everything he has, he's not going to suffer. There's no sacrifice. Is he giving? Sure. He's going to be less rich. And that's good. But who gave more? The woman who gave the penny because she gave all. It's all relative. And you have to give until it's sacrifice. That's right. You have to fast until you're hungry. You know, I knew the guy used to fast every day from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon. He fasted. Of course, he had a big, huge breakfast at 7, and he had a big, huge lunch at 12. But between 8 and noon, he fasted. So it isn't sacrifice until it's a sacrifice. Got it? Write it down. Okay, there is no way to get the elders out of the system at this time that I know of. No practical way. Because your only choice is you go from, you know, one system to the other system, and all these countries are a part of the same system. The New World Order is here already. And it's not, I don't want anybody to get all paranoid about it. It's all prophesied. It was going to happen. What you get to decide is what side of the equation you're going to be in and on. You may have to be friends with this unrighteous man in this New World Order because you can't get out of the system and you have a responsibility to take care of your family. But you can be moving in the direction of the kingdom by gleaning at night in the field to supply the benefits of your society, that alternative society. And there should be no complaint from the world if you do that, because you'll be homeschooling, which will leave an open desk for the slothful to go to school. You won't be burdening them, because you'll be getting your benefits from the church. So you'll be homeschooling. You're a single parent. The church will help you. There will be people in the church that will help you do that. Actually, I know somebody who was trying to put together these flashcards and have them printed at a local printer. And I said, well, why don't we put the order in when the church orders books and they'll give us all a price break. You know, you pay for your stuff and then the church will pay for its stuff, but we'll put it in as a common order and they give us quite a bit off the printing job because the amount of printing is up to a certain amount. And that's good for all of us. And the printing company doesn't mind because we actually promoted the printing company because we told them about the printing company. So we're cheaper than advertisement. So it works out. But they couldn't get what they needed printing for their homeschool figured out so that it would work at the printing company. So I said, bring them here. Bring what you have here and I will help sort it out. Because I have some skills in that publishing area, and I can put it together. It's all free material, but the way in which it was put together was just not practical for modern printers, and we want to do it economically. And once we have it figured out, we'll make it available to everybody else through the congregations. So we're helping them with homeschooling. We have a lot of people who have done homeschooling. We homeschooled. We have children that were homeschooled that are now homeschooling their children, and they've learned a lot about how to do it. And in the network, we can help one another. You see, and that is what Christianity is all about. These are our resources. We are the resource. We are the treasure of the kingdom. We are the pearl of great price. Is this way, this divine, blessed strategy of loving one another. And what happens is the church, being separate, is the asylum state. And this is what actually happened. I won't go into all the history. We don't have enough time right now. But this is what the early church was doing. And it's also why they got persecuted. And we'll talk about that next time on Keys of the Kingdom. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.